Hello, friends. On today's show, what's this about a four-day work week? We got pandas, Portland surprising homeless goals, some cool house building tech on weed, and we have landed on the moon recently. Seriously, it's all coming up. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the after times. You get what I'm talking about. So come on. Let's say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world. You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Bell.
Bye.
Bye.
So in case you people who are listening right now didn't realize it, we are two beers in. And we have a great group of people that are gathering over on the other side. Monica,
yes.
What was the general idea of that group?
Every Thursday night, there's this meetup group that goes to dive bars.
Okay. I mean, I think this is about the most PG-13 version of a dive bar.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they had jackets on. I'm not sure they know what a dive bar is.
She was wearing a sweater that had rhinestones
yes.
on it.
Right. Lovely, you know, people.
Lovely.
Lovely people.
Lovely folks. Lovely folks.
It doesn't have a cover charge. It must be a dive bar.
Yes.
Wait,
not trip on the velvet rope.
They have drinks under $4?
Wow.
This must be a dive bar. Hey, I'm one of your hosts, Brett Weaver.
And I'm, I thought you were going to introduce your drink.
Well, everybody knows what I usually, I'm drinking the same thing I always have.
You're fondling your drink there. And
my empty glass.
No. See, I'm your other co-host, Monica Ballard, and I was smart enough to get two drinks while I was fighting my way through that crowd.
Well, the funny thing is, Monica, when I was setting up, I've already had two drinks.
Getting touché. That head start.
I get touché. That. I get the mystery shot,
which
is a mystery. I've never been. I will say that the mystery shot here at the Aristocrat Lounge on Burnett Road in Austin, Texas, is it's usually something citrusy.
Okay.
I mean, it has been for the last four times that I've gotten it.
Well, so. You know. You need your vitamin C this time of year.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, explain why that can of turpentine keeps getting lower and lower.
That's right.
Okay.
This is our friend Doug, by the way.
Yeah, that's Doug right there. Doug, you're drinking Hell's?
I'm drinking the Helles.
The yep. Helles.
I am gone Greek.
I'm drinking Secret Beach for this first one. I've got a can of Austin East Cider. Sitting,
okay, Secret Beach.
Sitting at the
Fantastic.
Ready.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic. So we're going to read you some stories. We're going to talk about them. I'm going to probably cut off a lot of that front part.
Because she was not mic'd.
No, so I kept one. I was trying to get them to sit down and listen to us.
No,
and
they just wanted to gawk.
They went like, so what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not handing you my mic. Fuck off.
Join us. Come closer.
Every Thursday we go to a different dive bar. Great. Yeah, find another one next week.
Great. So then you won't be here. So you won't be here.
Hey, let us give you some suggestions for other great dive bars where you should go on Thursday nights.
Not here.
Not here. No. That poor bartender, he is just.
Oh, yeah.
He's just.
So just before, as I was setting up, that was the thing is. That you had the group of the peoples that were talking to each other. I mean, and there's probably about 20, 25 people over there. And he was busily working. I set my stuff down here. I get everything set up. And then the music kicks in. And it's super loud. And I'm thinking, okay, but I know that it's cool for me to go. And I'll ask, hey, can you just drop it 20%? That's what we usually do.
Sure.
So I go over there and ask him, and he's like, yeah, sure. So he drops 20%, and as I come back, I hear this. With playing with the music. And I'm like, why is there feedback? So then I go back over there, and I tell him, hey, I don't know what to tell you, buddy, but there's feedback coming through the speakers. He goes, well, I don't hear it. And I was like, let me give you the pitch. And then he's like, and then I stop, and he goes, oh, no, I hear it. And so, meanwhile, 30. Now it's 30 people. It's 25 to 30
all
people.
Waving credit cards and
doing
cash.
That kind of thing.
Barkeep.
He's like, man, yeah. I don't. He's like, I don't know what to do. And I go, I'm sorry, but this is all about me. And I need for you to only take care of me. He's That's like, right. Okay, you're cool. All right, we're good. And then I come back here and find out that the mic was up against the headphones and it was feeding back. And it was my own damn fault. He had nothing to do with it.
Own damn fault. Extra tip for the bartender.
Yep, always.
Being
I throw him a nickel.
That's right. Here, that's for me being accusatory.
Don't spend it all in one place. Why are you hitting me? So, yeah, we got good stories.
Yeah.
Why don't we start?
Sure.
We'll start with something that's going to drive Doug up the walls.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Yipe.
The four-day work week is here to stay in the UK.
All right.
So this is what happened. They got about 61 companies together with 2,900 workers. And they said, all right, we're going to make you only do 80% of the work day, of the work. No, wait.
The work week.
The work week. Only 80%. So it's not like they did 4 10-hour days. They stuck to 4 8-hour days. And they said, we'll do that if you can still give us 100%. Of getting your work done.
The same productivity as we had at 5. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so what they did is over... Let me see. So what happened is most of the firms that participated in the world's largest 4-day week trial are operating on a shorter work week 1 year on. So 1 year later they do it and they're still on it.
Okay.
It ends up there. It's all getting done. They asked about the effects of the shorter work week. 82% of the surveyed companies reported positive impacts on staff well-being, with half recording reduced staff turnover. So it reduced even staff turnover.
Sure, because nobody wants to leave a 4-day-a-week job
right.
for a 5-day-a-week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And the other side effect is, like, a lot of the men who had kids were able to spend more time with their kids. So they were showing a 25% uptick in...
A beating of kids.
Yeah, beating up their kids. Sending them to the
Get
to the
job,
mines.
You wanker.
Yeah. Get on.
You only have to work 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah, so critics of the 4-day work week have questioned whether the positive impacts reported in 4-day week trials can be sustained long-term. So there was a professor of sociology at Boston College, which led the UK trial, and said overall results have held, and in some cases have even continued to improve. Physical and mental health, work-life balance are significantly better than at 6 months. Burnout and life satisfaction improvements held steady, and job satisfaction and sleep problems nudged down a bit, but the bulk of the original group, it all improved.
Okay, so what this reminds me of is the study they did in the 40s about lighting in factories, where they went in and they watched a factory of workers, and then they upped the light, and the productivity went up like 11%.
Sure.
They were like, this is amazing. So then they turned down the lights to see if it went back to the old, and it was still up 11%, and they were confused.
Huh.
And they kept trying to figure out what was going on. And finally it dawned on them that since the factory workers were being watched so carefully by
these
people,
they were going to work
harder.
Yes.
They all worked harder. So I wonder if a similar thing happens here, where because, you know, they don't want to lose their 4-day work week and people are watching them, they're working harder. And then as they get used to it, then they start to slow
so
down.
A year, so
a year,
but we're a year
study.
In.
Yeah, a year long.
A year it is great.
Sure.
If they're watching them, if the guys are still saying, and remember, you lose this if you're not working hard.
Well, I mean, that's going to be an obvious. That's well, going to. So
you would think so, but I worked 84 hours a week for 7 years.
Right.
And, yeah, I did slow down occasionally, but not much. But boy, I collapsed at the end of that 7 years.
Oh, sure. So this is the opposite of that, of saying, hey, if you keep get in your way. Now, the question, the real question.
We're out to kill you slowly.
Well, the question would be, is if they go, okay, you can still do 32 hours, right, a four-day work week, but now we need maybe a little more efficiency.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see what happens with that.
We do tend to get used to certain things. Like an 80-hour work week used to be the standard before it became a 60 and then a 40.
Right.
And now we find that people are lazier at 40 than they were, you know, back at 80 because they got used to it.
Right.
So what happens when they get used to 32?
Well, we'll see.
I don't know. It'll take longer than a year to figure it out.
Next leap year, you and I will revisit this because that's the appropriate thing.
On the 11th birthday of our dear friend who's our same age.
Yep. I'll be like, Doug, guess what we were talking about?
You just dated the show.
Timestamp. That's fine.
Sorry, Val.
She's not listening.
It's all good news now.
Now, yeah. And they got hooked on crack and died. That's the hidden
Monday,
story
right?
on here.
Yeah.
Is also, they all got hooked on crack.
That's
and
one
died.
Extra day to get hooked on
crack
and
die.
Die.
That's yeah. right.
The end.
Surprisingly, I want to talk about China in a positive way.
China.
Yeah.
China.
China is once again sending pandas to the U.S., delighting the San Diego Zoo and D.C. zoos. So the question is like,
what did
is
the pandas do?
Well, you know. They look too much like their dear leader.
Right, and yeah. Winnie the Panda?
Did I just say that?
Yeah.
How dare I? So... remember, the thing that's funny about this is I remember I was looking this up and I thought, didn't they have a thing on the West Wing that talked about the panda cam?
Yeah.
They were, like yeah. they talked about it and I never could really find it, but I was like, I remember that was a thing that I learned about panda diplomacy that way by saying, oh, there's a lot of people that are really into knowing that Ling Ling and Sing Sing and Bing Bing and, you know,
Ting Ting.
Ting Ting. I mean, they really were named that.
Like, they really, yes. That. Yes.
we're doing well. And then, of course, you know, we all got mad at each other. And they, when the pandas died, the Chinese were like, maybe we won't send another panda.
You obviously cannot care for them.
Right. And you do not understand our policies. So,
did we stop sending them gators?
Yep.
Yes. Yes, we should.
Like, here, have more. Also, here,
put them
rabbits.
In the panda enclosure.
Yeah. It'll all work itself out.
It
will all work itself out. How did they become best friends?
I didn't know you could ride them like that.
Yeah.
Pay per view.
So this panda diplomacy is back in action in San Diego as Chinese Chinese conservatives, no, Chinese conservationists and the California Zoo signed an agreement that could see giant pandas return for the viewing public as soon as the end of the summer.
So not just pandas.
No.
Giant
pandas. Well, because there's the red pandas,
the red
too.
Pandas. Yeah,
we love red
ones.
Yeah, we love red pandas. They're so cute.
Yes. But these are the gigantic.
Yes. Ninja pandas.
That's right. You can't call a giant panda Ting Ting.
No.
You just, no.
I mean, you can, but
then. Yeah.
Then
it still ting-ting. Cracks me up that they're more closer to raccoons than bears.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yep. With zookeepers all over the world studying different aspects of panda biology and ethnology, the last 40 years have seen the ability to captively breed and raise pandas improve exponentially. They're teaching them pandas how to fuck.
Panda tender? All right.
Like, why are you pandas
swipe.
Not chubby enough? Not chubby enough.
Ooh,
she's got
just
back.
Right.
Baby got back.
They're giving the pandas, before they get to the United States, they send them to Brazil so that pandas can get Brazilian butt lifts. Pandas, not now you're talking.
Aren't you glad you're learning from us?
Yeah. So the partnership this time around will include research on disease prevention and habitat protection, and with a fee paid by the San Diego Zoological. They said ZDZW. Wait. SDZWA.
SDZWA.
What would Panda do?
Zidzwa. 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 For the opportunity to host the pandas going directly to the giant panda conservation in China. So, again, you have to ask, is it that they're just that the conservation is super large and it's very popular for pandas?
Yeah.
Or is this specifically conservation for giant pandas? We'll never know.
I don't know. I'm kind of put off by the final paragraph there that mentions panda lovers. Panda lovers rejoiced.
Yeah. Until they were caught.
Yeah. And now, yeah, the jig is up.
Sorry. He practiced animal husbandry until they caught him at it.
You fucked one panda.
I gotta tell you. Last weekend, I was in Atlanta, went to visit the Georgia Aquarium, fabulous aquarium. I mean, I was agog at so many things that they had.
Okay.
And wonderful creatures of the sea that I did not know existed.
Like what?
Oh, like spiny-ass seahorses. Dragon,
oh, the spiny seahorses.
Dragon seahorses.
Oh, I was hoping they were like, called spiny-ass seahorses.
No.
Them spiny-ass seahorses.
Just the
but
ass.
They had these little tunnels where agile adults and kids could crawl through and pop up into the habitat.
And they attack
and
your
take,
face?
And take a look around. Well, they were enclosed in plastic. But
were you agile enough?
No, I was not.
Okay.
No, they would have had to have sent somebody in after.
You're like,
hey. Get the jaws of life.
I would have had to have held up a little sign.
Yeah.
And say, come get me. But in the penguin habitat.
Sure.
There were a couple of penguins being very educational.
Oh, really?
And I have video. I kind of did play by play on for some of the voices.
I'll help you with the bed music for
great.
That.
Great. Yeah, please.
Just going on porn now.
Some Barry White be good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Gonna get that. Get the penguin on.
Looking but cool, was, baby. I can
really,
warm you up.
We really got it together.
it was funny watching some of the adults just suddenly turn.
They're like, oh,
hey, let's see what's around the corner here.
Are they playing leapfrog?
Yes.
Not very well.
That one guy just can't just seem to
get over.
Make it
oh,
over.
Oh, I think he's getting over. here in Austin, we have a homeless problem that we're working
Do
on.
We?
And everybody knows that this is also a problem that's going on the East Coast or West Coast, especially up like in Portland and such. And come to find out that between 2019 and 2023, they've been able to reduce homelessness by 65%.
I would love for a consortium of experts to come from Portland to Austin and tell us how they did it.
I mean, but that being said, here in Austin too, I mean, they're making slow headway. It's going the right direction. It's just taking longer.
Yeah.
Ironically, I've heard that a big pilot program that worked really well was in Houston several years back, and now a bunch of cities are beginning to piggyback off of that.
What are they doing?
They are actually...
Does it involve buses?
No, it involves making sure that there's places for them to live so they have an address so they can get jobs,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. They have care workers to look for the people who are more employable and just on a quick, you know, hard downturn.
Right.
Get
down
them back
the
up as quickly as they can.
Yeah.
And then for the more problematic ones, they find mental aid services and stuff. And all of this has only happened in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So
on that, I mean, that's kind of what's going on here, too.
Yeah.
to where I think for a while there, they were really focused on the people that were truly long-term homeless, emotional problems, all that kind of thing.
And they went a lot of resources into those and ignoring the ones who had just lost their job and lost their rent.
So that's what they kind of went the other direction with it and said, hey, let's try to catch this stuff before they're done. So that's kind of helped with it. So the report prevented 1,369 people and 591 households from being evicted.
Yeah.
So that's one. I mean, that's great. And of course, I don't know what the total number is of people that are, but that's a good sounding number at least.
Especially if you're in that 1,300.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
They prevented 1,369 people.
Yeah.
And 591 households from being evicted.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's just, wow.
It's like we work hard to reduce and prevent homelessness early on before it even happens with rental assistance, and we make sure to have the resources and assets up and running to give people the housing that they need.
Yeah.
And that's Ben West, the Clackamas County Commissioner, said that.
Clackamas County, come on.
Good for y'all.
Yeah.
Celebrate.
Sounds very Christian.
Yeah, how dare you? the permanent supportive housing is another component of the approach detailed in the report and offers the combination of a permanent personal space with the social services necessary to help those who've experienced homelessness to stabilize things. So they're going, this is where I know that one of the problems that was happening in Austin was there was a lot of temporary housing. Yeah. So they would say, you can come, but you can only spend the night and you can't stay here. You have to get out and go do stuff. So nobody could ever have a place to keep their stuff.
Sure.
So they're constantly, well, I'm here. Now I have to go away, but I don't have time to figure something else. So I'm just going to wait until I can come back in again.
Yeah. It's a little hard if you get behind trying to find housing in a housing poor area.
Yeah.
And Austin certainly got to a point where we weren't building enough for the people that were already here and more people were coming in.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And then they were going to repurpose all these hotels and things like that.
And then not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard.
Yeah, people are saying, hey, that's a great idea. Yeah, we're going to put one right down the street from you.
Yeah.
Well, not there.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing that here's the thing that's a good thing, but it's going to be on the back of a bad thing, which is the my favorite. Well, I don't have a favorite bowling alley, but the only reason why it's my favorite bowling alley is because it has Lebowski's Grill in it.
Ah, the cheeseburger.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
I read about
they
that.
Sold the property,
yep.
And they're going to be building condos there, which I kind of go, well, yeah, I mean, this is the result. And, yeah, that is in my backyard.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, hopefully they can figure something out to make it work a little bit better. But I thought, you know, so this is just in general. I was thinking, well, along 183, a lot of that stuff could be redeveloped for mixed use.
Mixed use,
and then that way you're not having to build more infrastructure to get it done, since a lot of the infrastructure is right there. All they'd have to do is do more bus and
why
that
don't
kind
they just
of thing.
Build on top of Anderson Lanes?
Condos on top of the freeway? Just
no,
you know,
no, no.
High
condos
rise
on, condos on top of the bowling alley.
Oh, okay.
Well, because the family they're the same ones who own Dart Bowl, and they're basically just the kids are getting rid of. They're like, yeah, okay. We don't really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not they're being forced out. They're going, yeah, let's just sell.
Yeah.
So yeah, the positive thing would be to build a bowling alley on underneath, and then have the thing. But then think about it: if you're on the second floor, and you have a condo on the second floor. And below you is a bowling alley.
There's a buffer. You there? Come on.
They would have
people will buy condos right next to a soccer stadium.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, Monica.
Look at the intersection that it's at. Anyway,
sure.
And how noisy that's going to
you
be.
You totally make
would
sense,
I buy a
Monica.
Condo there?
10 years from now, I'll have one of those kitschy bowling alleys that's like little bitty at the top of a, you know, shopping center or
there
something like that, like we have in Houston.
Speaking of houses.
Yes.
A new mud home built of hemp and earth.
I'm sorry, did you say mud home?
Mud home.
Does it have a mud room in the mud home?
Yes.
Wow.
It's on Walden
really,
Road, right?
Really, all the home is a mud room. Yeah. They're all mud rooms.
They're all mud rooms.
Yes.
Wow.
So, and of course, this is in the UK. This is happening in the UK.
Of course.
So we had talked previously about the 3D printed homes.
Yes.
And so this is not that same thing because they're kind of going back to the old school way of doing things, and they said, we found that this way works still as it did way back. So
in the UK.
Well.
Right. Provided you don't have a thatched roof or something like that.
So Anthony Hudson, who's an architect, used a centuries-old construction method to build this bungalow, yet it still complies with modern building regulations.
Yeah. They have a I've seen a couple of the home building shows in the UK, and they have a different set of regulations because, of course, some of their houses are 800 years old.
Sure. Yes. I mean, and that's kind of the point. Mud is one of the sustainable construction materials, with some old cob buildings in Britain lasting more than 500 years.
Right. And if you put that in, you know, our wetter climates in Texas, it would last almost five.
So, Doug, we're not just thinking of... like
I wasn't unhoused, but I am now. The storm came in.
Lived in Houston and it washed away.
So when you put together hemp, straw, earth, and water,
yes,
and mix that together, that's known as cob?
Yes.
Okay, and the project was named the
Cobage. I know, it's not. That's not a sexy name.
I wonder if they would like some branding assistance.
great marketing.
Yeah.
I know some wizards who might be.
Yeah, there. You're like, oh, honey.
Cobage. All right, we're gonna do a character diamond.
Yeah, we're gonna have a second meeting after this.
Your marketing
we're
is
help
garbage.
Them out. It's garbage. Cobage is
garbage. At least as far as the name is concerned. Yes.
So, like, they have the triple glazed windows for solar warmth in the winter, and the air source heat pump to provide additional heating.
And
so
I imagine
that's
when you build it in the right direction, like south facing or something like that.
Yeah.
For the windows, and that would assist.
It almost sounds kind of like the Earth ships in New Mexico that they made.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sure. Pueblos and such.
Yeah. No, near Taos.
Or this the stuff they built the buildings out of at. Up at Wizard Academy.
Oh, yes.
Rostra. Yes.
Again, needing of a branding. The earth is a very sustainable way to build, especially because it's so widely available here in the UK. We got earth everywhere.
We got dirt.
We're on a different planet? I thought we were on the same one.
That's right.
We've got earth.
They say it's cheaper, and that's the other thing, is it's way cheaper.
It's everywhere.
They go, although the materials are cheap and easy to source, the building method is very time-consuming. At the most, it all has to be done by hand, so labor costs can run high. Which is funny, because you hear a very similar point with 3D printed houses, where they're like, sure, it's done with a... But, you know, this is intricate work, and it causes the prices to go up, like...
The reality is building walls is actually kind of expensive.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, yeah. Especially post-pandemic. Jeez.
Yeah, it's a little different than making little Chinese plastic toys, you know?
Right, right.
A lot more to it.
Let's go to space.
Much
right
easier.
Now?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm changing subjects.
Okay. Much easier. We can barely build houses, so... Right.
Let's go to space.
Let's leave this planet where they have the Earth.
Intuitive spacecraft lands on the moon in an all... wait.
Yeah, I didn't get this either.
Yeah, Intuitive spacecraft lands on the moon. So a first for a U.S. company 50 years after the Apollo mission. So what they're saying is this is a company that did this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's done with using Intuitive landing because it's landing on the dark side of the moon. And it's all being done to start the process of building a base on the moon.
Right.
So from that, it's going to... So landing in the area called Malapert A in the South Pole region of the moon, the Houston-based Intuitive Machines, which, like, I'm like, come on, guys. Really?
Skynet was taken.
Skynet was taken. Just call it Skynet.
Exactly.
Intuitive Machines carried a payload for NASA as part of their Commercial Lunar Payload Services Initiative.
Yes.
Marking the first time NASA has returned to the moon since the Apollo missions over 50 years ago.
And it was so intuitive. It said, I can land. I can land.
I got this.
I can land.
And then it fell over.
And then, it tipped over and it couldn't get back up.
Nope.
It should have been packed with a life alert.
That's right.
Yeah.
Help. So carrying six NASA research, science research and technology demonstrations among other customer payloads, which makes you wonder, like,
you.
Okay.
Space later.
Go on.
Yeah. All NASA science instruments completed transit checkouts en route to the moon. So a NASA precision landing technology demonstration also provided critical last-minute assistance to ensure a soft land.
Not critical enough, apparently.
Yeah. Land. Good boy.
Land.
Good boy.
Where are you going? Hey, wait, whoa, no. whoa. Oh.
It's like in Galaxy Quest when they're like.
And now it's taking a nap. I don't think that was on purpose.
Okay, you awake? Can you get up? No?
No.
Take some pictures.
Yeah. We'll send something else out there. So it wasn't all science and government that touched down on the moon on Friday.
They were carrying a giant panda.
A panda, that's exactly right. And the panda's like, why am I here? There's no bamboo out here.
There's not even another panda.
Oh, this is the worst.
Not even a red panda.
I don't even have a tree.
I don't even have a gator to fight with.
Figure it out or make friends with. So, among other things, were included some sculptures by Jeff Koons, which is...
Jeff's got to feel like an idiot right now.
Yeah, and a sample of Columbia Sportswear's Omni-Heat insulative fabric as a part of a test to see how well it contains heat. So, I guess that's around a panda. That's... I've got a follow-up to Avatar, the Last Airbender.
Yes!
I watched it last week.
Uh-huh.
It's better than the movie, which is
okay.
Easy to say.
Low bar, but go on.
Which I just saw on a list of the worst movies of the 21st century.
Yep. It's like, it was better than Manos, Hands of Fate. All right.
The master...
is
agrees.
Angry. He'll be angry.
At least we're not in Last Airbender.
The thing that I liked, I mean, it was 8 instead of being 20 half-hour episodes, it was 8-hour episodes. And they had to cut in places, so some of the storylines that you really like weren't there or were very condensed. Big moments were there. I think the acting was very interesting because you have true kid actors. So there, you know, you have to be a little bit of forgiving with them. That's the way I see it. You know, Uncle Iroh is great.
Damn it.
Oh, he was great. No, I was very happy.
Okay, good.
I was very happy. There was some good stuff there. I'll see how season 2 goes.
Okay.
But EK and I are also thinking, you have an opportunity to do something else. Like, take the story to a different area or try something different with it.
That's always dangerous when you have a beloved property.
Right.
Yes.
Got to get it exactly right.
Yeah. But you also
you know, like House of the Dragon, you know.
Yes. So, but overall, I'm like, okay, I enjoyed watching it. So I enjoyed watching it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said I'd follow up.
Yes, you did.
And I did. The okay. end. But it is weird because...
That's the end of Brett's book report.
No, I will say that the guy who plays Sokka...
Thank you, Brett.
Yeah. Yes. The guy who plays Sokka, it's almost like they went and got the cartoon and said, now we need to create a human that looks like a cartoon character.
Uh-huh.
Because he looks and sounds like Sokka from the cartoon, from the animated series, which is weird because you really think the other way around. It's like, no, this kid looks just like him. Huh. So that's
that. This is why I could not be a teacher. To listen to kids report on things that I have no context for.
Nor interest in.
It and sounds like a very fascinating doorknob your family has.
No, what you don't understand is these buttons are made of bone.
All my cars go vroom, vroom.
That's right.
Kill me now.
No, but we don't even know what kind of bone it is.
This is like my grandkids trying to explain the importance of Pokemon to
me. Yeah, that's right.
For so many years. And I'm kind of like, you don't understand. I don't care. I know as a grandmother I should. I just don't. And you know what? In 2 years,
you won't care
either.
You know, you're talking to someone who's done the voice, a voice on Pokemon.
And about a year later, my grandson came to me and said, Nanaka,
you were right
about Pokemon. Yeah.
That's right. You were Angry Rock number 3, right?
That's right. No, I was Slightly Grumpy Dragon. Yeah. And I got to say, I don't know, and like as a dragon, which made Lisa Ortiz laugh so hard. She's like, I cannot believe that you got that out and were able to make it look like he's going, I don't know. So yeah, that was.
Was that that just the one line, or did you say it several different ways, like I am Groot?
No.
Or like Meow Kitty.
No, yeah, like Meow Kitty. No, I think I had probably about 10 lines. That was when I went to New York. For a convention, and I was like, you got any work? She goes, you want to come do Pokemon? I said, yes,
hell
I do.
Yes.
Sure.
Oh,
so, Monica,
God,
you will appreciate this.
Yes.
I went and recorded at Tin Pan Alley.
Wow.
That's where it was recorded.
Oh, my God.
So, because I'm coming back from the bathroom, and I go, is there a reason why there's a Simon and Garfunkel gold record on the wall here? And they go, oh, yeah, they recorded that here. I'm like, I'm recording in the same booth. She's like, well, you're in the same room.
Yeah, same
I mean,
room.
The room, the booth's been rebuilt.
It's been,
but,
yeah, changed around.
It's a little bit different.
That's, wow.
So there you go.
Yes.
Now you care.
Yes,
now
I
care.
I care because my friend Brett was part of the Pokemon
universe.
Legacy.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And an even more famous voice item than Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Yes. I'm more popular than Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes.
Well, Garfunkel.
Garfunkel.
Oh, Garfunkel. Yeah. Simon, I mean, come on. Garfunkel.
Really.
Yeah. So, yeah. We are so glad that with all the people that showed up and said hi to us, that we're all off mic.
Yes.
And, but you, the listener, you aren't off mic.
That's
You're
right.
over there choosing not to be on the mic. And so you're wondering, Brett, how can I support you? I go, well, first of all, you're doing it right now by listening to the show.
Yes, thank you.
You want to take it up a notch? Here's what you do. Go to patreon.com/2beersin and you know, sign up. You can have, there's multi levels that are there. You,
that's right.
The more money you give per month, the more things that you get. Just go over there and look at it. It's all right there.
You know, a real bonus, once you give us money through Patreon, we won't text you 3 times a day.
No.
Asking you for more.
No.
We won't tell you we're in some race to, you know, to finish. And, yeah, none of that. None of that's going on.
No.
You will be quietly acknowledged. And if you give enough, you will be unquietly acknowledged.
Yes, we will scream it from the rooftops.
That's right.
Yes. So, yeah, you can do that. You can just send us email putting in two beers in at weightlesspod.com. You can also give us money if you want to give us a one-time gift on Venmo or PayPal. Remember, that money's not real. And use two beers in at weightlesspod.com.
No NFTs, please.
No, we're not interested in that.
No.
My wife would be very angry at me. Brett, we've done an NFT for you. Like, no,
no,
just don't.
Stop.
Please.
I've got an angry ape or something.
She's going to draw a really nasty cartoon about me. It's going to hurt, too. She's award-winning.
You and a giant panda.
That's right. I'm being raped by a giant panda.
I'll tell you what.
Riding an alligator
for some
reason. You want
to throw money at us another way? Come on by when
yes.
we're recording and just throw money at our table.
Yep.
That'll really make people sit up and take notice.
And go, seriously, what's going on over here?
What the hell is going on over there by the change machine?
That's right. That's right. So thank you for listening to us. Monica and I talked about the different songs that we're going to play.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do the Yacht Rock song next week.
Okay.
Because this song, it's not an obscure song, but it was something that I was listening to it going, man, this is a really good song. So I don't know if you've heard of this singer. His name's Stevie Wonder. And he wrote this fantastic album called Songs in the Key of Life.
Love that album.
What's fantastic to know is the albums that started right after that, well, that one and ones after, was because he had been on a contract, I think with Capitol Records?
Yes.
For years when he was younger. And so he celebrated by saying, I own all of this, and I'm going to create all this stuff.
I am no longer little Stevie Wonder. I am a wonder to be reckoned with.
That's right. And so he wrote these songs, and there's this song called I Wish. Really listen to it and wish you were a horn player, because this is like the best horn line ever. So before we close out, I am your host, Brett Weaver. I have an empty glass in front of me.
You've had an empty glass for quite some time.
How dare you?
We should rectify that.
Yes.
I'm Monica. I've been making my way through a secret beach beer.
Yes.
It's very citrusy.
And she'll continue
on deck. I've got an Austin East Cider because I'm just so damn glad to be back in Austin drinking local Austin beers.
That's right. And that's Doug over there.
Who's got mostly just backwash of a Helles.
Sorry, man.
You know.
All right.
It's been a long podcast.
That's right. All right, everybody. Y'all have a good evening, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.